B-Pod Studios.
All right, coming in the studio right now. Oh my, he imitated my hairdo.
Yes, we're twins.
Yes, we are. Are we going to do that movie, Twins?
Yeah, we should do the movie Twins.
John Travolta in studio. And I got to say, I got to start here, John. I got to thank you because you named your movie after our radio station, which was extremely kind.
How about that? How about that?
I mean, the foresight you had to know you were going to come here eventually when you began this project with Fred Durst a couple years ago.
Sometimes you have to connect the dots, and I connected the dots correctly this time, and I'm just so proud to be representing you.
Well, and the movie poster's red. That's our color. Everything. It's like perfect synergy.
It is perfect synergy, and I'm glad you're welcoming it.
Well, I welcomed it, and I saw the movie, and I got to say, I loved it because I love when you have to play a character that's flawed, and your character is dealing with, Moose is his character's name, is dealing with some mental issues and autism, but you took it on physically. So to take the character in that physical direction, just the way you walked and presented yourself physically, was that a big part of for you to get into this character?
Yes,
for this movie.
Because of my athletic history and my dance ability, anytime I do a character that is that I'm willing to submerge myself into, I always include specific physical behavior or attributes.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes the way they walk, their gestures, their tics, whatever they have that is qualified to be part of the character.
So the idiosyncrasies of the character really would give it depth.
They do, because it's a visual medium. Your film is all about what you're looking at, as well as sound, of course, but you need to be fully embraced in the idea of watching something.
Now, are you an actor that will stay in the character? Are you doing the walk when you get home from a day of shooting or in preparation?
No, but I will tell you what I do sometimes, and I did it very much so on this movie, is that Fred Durst, who was the head of the Limp Bizkit, he directed it,
mm-hmm.
and he wrote it. And he's also an actor, so he'd improvise with me. And he would allow me to get into the zone or thinkingness of the character. So I would improvise with him. I'd improvise with the different departments, the wardrobe and the lighting and the props. And he would watch. And then whenever he saw that I couldn't make a mistake or not think in that guy, boom, he'd say action.
Yeah.
And then I'd be in the scene. And so it took a little bit of a warm up. But it was certainly fun to play that role.
Well, let me ask you about Fred Durst, because, you know, he came to fame, obviously, with Limp Bizkit. You brought it up, and
yeah.
It was like back in like 1997, where you're watching Total Request Live on MTV with Carson Daly and
sure.
Did it all for the Nookie, and you're going, I'm going to do a movie with Fred Durst someday. How'd that pairing come?
Well, because his real love is movies, and Limp Bizkit actually came as a creation, almost as an actor. He said, "Don't." I could create a character for a group, and he created Limp Bizkit as a concept, and mostly as becoming someone else. And he was interested in my work, and 15 years ago talked with me and said, "Do you think you'd ever be interested in doing film with me?" And I said, "Well, let's talk about it." So it took him years, but he finally developed a script based loosely on his situations, and with me in mind, he created this character and he presented it to me, and I was so utterly impressed with how well he wrote it and what his vision of the movie would be. It had very detailed,
mm-hmm.
and you can tell even in the animated sketches that he has this vision of this character, this drama, you know, this juxtaposition between the movie star and the fan, and how he articulates. So I was lured into his vision and his ability.
John Travolta with the star of the new movie, The Fanatic, hitting theaters on August 30th, oddly enough, on 97.5, The Fanatic. John, you've been on the other side of that. So has Fred. Some experiences, you know, you've been a famous for a long time, and sometimes fans become fanatical and they overstep. Did you and Fred sit down and have those conversations of experiences that you had where, you know, it starts out like in the movie, I just wanted an autograph, mm-hmm. but things get a little too over the line and you got to deal with that from the other side. Did that help you with the character?
Yes. Being a film actor and understanding that side of it, and being a fan from being a child, I understood every aspect of this movie pretty much prior to doing it. But Fred had more of those extreme experiences than I did. And I've always been one that kind of navigated through in a way of where I would decide to whether it was a good day to go out or a good day to go to a restaurant or a good day to go shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And that would include being in the mood for being interrupted or being, you know, whatever that what happens to a famous person. So I never had the real, you know, issues that other people have had. I had a couple of people that snuck into my house or, you know, and I had to handle that was years ago. But they were never ill.
Yeah, that never leaves you, though, does it?
It never ill-intended, though.
Yeah.
You know, but you say, how'd they get in?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, too. Your character's not ill-intended either. And
correct.
He's dealing with autism. Did you do a lot of research into autism to kind of capture those elements of the character? Because that's something that's people are very educated on now is autism and
beyond
the spectrum.
Yeah, it's a very familiar behavior. Most people know at least one or two people that have it. So yes, I was familiar with it and I was able to embrace it because I felt like I, you know, being a physical actor, I could emulate that.
What was it like working with Fred?
Wonderful.
Did good direction and the whole thing?
Like one of the best experiences I've ever had where he just really, you became a priority in his mind and your performance became a priority. And he wanted to help you in any way. And the way he helped me was to improvise with me.
And this is a big break for him, to be doing a film with an A-list Hollywood star like yourself. You came back into prominence with Pulp Fiction in 1994. What did that movie mean for your career?
Well, it was a restart of a kind of quality of a film. Because, you know, as Quentin would always brag, that I started out with an Academy Award nomination, and then I did these films that he fell in love with, like Blowout or Urban Cowboy or, you know, an Altman piece too at the time, all the things that he loved. So he wanted to bring back that quality of film because certainly it had hits or successes, but not in his, the kind that he would respond to. So Pulp Fiction was bringing me back into his sensibility of film.
Yeah. Now, speaking of Blowout, you brought it up. This isn't your first time in Philadelphia because that movie was actually shot a lot in Philadelphia. There was the scene of City Hall. What was Philadelphia like back in the 1980s? Because that came out in 81. So what was it like in the 80s and what is it like now when you come back?
Well, I have a long history of experience. Well, one of my most important experiences that I had forgotten about but shouldn't have was that when I was 8, I made my first trip to Philadelphia in an airplane, which inspired a whole career in aviation. And it was Newark to Philadelphia, 20-minute flight and return. The second time was with the stage show, Broadway show of Grease, where I played Doody, not Danny. And then the third time was with Cotter. And the fourth time was promoting a song that I had recorded. And then the fifth time was filming Blowout. And by that time, the city had changed quite a bit from when I was a little boy. And now, when I look at the city, I mean, last night I went to this restaurant at the top of the Four Seasons Hotel. Man, oh man.
Skyline's a little different.
You have this thing that's like just gorgeous, you know, just gorgeous city now. You know, I love the new architecture mixed with the old.
Yeah.
It's
a lot of history here, yeah.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah, and there's a lot of charm to that. It's amazing your recall, by the way, on all of those elements in your trips to Philadelphia. You've done a lot. You've been all over the world. Your love for flying, you bring up. Do you still have a 757?
No, I had a 707. Mm-hmm. I've just donated it to a museum in Australia. I had it for 18 years. I enjoyed it immensely.
Now, but do you lease that? do you go to the dealership and lease it?
Yeah, really? No, I don't. I owned it, and now I'm giving it away. But I have about 12 jet licenses, mm-hmm. including the 747, the 707, and all the corporate jets, for the most part, I fly.
The movie's coming out on August 30th. One of the things we're talking about today with you being here is you're involved in two of the greatest scenes in cinema, in my opinion. The Ezekiel scene in Pulp Fiction, and ironically from the same movie, the adrenaline shot scene.
Oh, yes.
What's your favorite scene from a movie, just all time, as a viewer of a film?
Gosh, you know,
it's that moment, right, in a movie.
kids. I've been so proud of them. You know, I've really, really tried to be discerning about everything I do in my career. And whether they succeed or don't, I've always chosen with a purpose and with an idea. And I've been proud of that.
Well, we're happy that you chose to promote your film, The Fanatic, on The Fanatic. Best of Luck comes out on August 30th. We'll be looking forward to it. I saw it. People are going to enjoy it. I was a big fan of Fred Durst. I actually got the doppelganger thing with Fred back in the day. But we appreciate you stopping by, and best of luck with the movie and best of luck with everything going forward.
Thank you very much.
John Travolta, everyone.
Thank you, John.
We'll take a break. Come back with more. 97.5 The Fanatic.